morning, everybody. Sure is good to see everyone. Happy 2020 to everybody. It is an honor to be here with all of you, to get the chance to share from God's Word here at the beginning of a new year. If you're like me, a new year just brings all kinds of chances to think about the future and to set goals and to have ideas of what you hope and pray the year will contain. But finding good direction, finding good advice, so to speak, on how to do that is not always easy. In fact, one of the things that I find, you know, I run into a lot as I read, I bet you do too, is we get a lot of advice in our current culture, in our current society, that we should just follow our dreams, right? Just follow your dreams, or dream big, or believe in your dreams, and your dreams will come true. We're a pretty dreamy society when you start to think about it. We love the idea that our dreams can come true, almost like a fairy tale. We are swirling in the idea that there's great virtue in just believing in our own dreams. We love to talk about that. But what exactly are we talking about when we talk about following your dreams? Let's just examine that for a quick second as we're considering this new year. Many times we end up following what you might say is someone else's dream for us, or society's dream for us. That's what you might call the me that I'm expected to be. Anyone ever bump into the me you're expected to be, and you wonder if that's the me you want to be, right? It might be what society says success is all about. It might be what others around you think you should be. Now, certainly, it's wise and loving to meet the healthy and correct expectations of your spouse or your children or your parents, depending on your stage of life. But we can't let everyone else's definition of success pull us in every direction, right? In real life, we have to let go of pleasing others first and choose instead to please God first, and let go of measuring up to society's standards. As you've looked ahead at 2020, maybe you've been tempted to think about just becoming the me that everyone expects you to be. Don't follow everyone else's dream for you. Now, there's my own dream, right? This is the me that I aspire to be. These are the dreams that we're constantly told to follow, right? To follow your dreams. But the fact is, left to myself, I can have some pretty dysfunctional dreams sometimes, right? My dream might be to make a lot of money, but God's will is instead that I make a difference. My dream might be to get in shape. Maybe that's one of your New Year's resolutions, but God's will might be first that I get right with others. My dream might be to find the love of my life. Perhaps that's where you are in your stage of life. But before that, God wants to make sure that you have found everlasting, satisfying love in Him. So sometimes following our own dreams doesn't send us in exactly the right direction. And the fact is, we may have lofty goals and big dreams of what we can become. They may even be good and noble. But how many of us can confess that months and years can go by and they simply remain aspirations? In real life, we got to trust our future to God and let Him guide our steps. So there must be more than just the me that I aspire to be. Often, especially maybe by around February of our New Year's resolutions, there's the me that I choose to be, right? And that's kind of a bad dream sometimes. It's the idea of, I may aspire to this, but the fact is, most of the time I'm choosing this. This is where my dreams fade and resolutions give out and our day-to-day choices take over, but they're not always wisest. They're not always best. And in real life, we got to submit our will to God and invite Him to guide our daily decisions. And that really leads us to what we hope we're aiming at in this series that I'm going to talk about here in a minute, and that's the me we're meant to be, that we go beyond just dreams and all that kind of romanticized language of following your dream or believing in the goodness of your dreams, and actually begin to sink our teeth into God's will for our lives. That alignment, the alignment that Jesus brings to each of us as we keep living our days saying yes to Him, means that it will begin. He will begin to bring into harmony the me that I'm expected to be, the me I choose to be, the me I aspire to be. Those will all start to line up with the me that I've discerned, that I'm designed and called to be. Doesn't that sound good? To be the person that God has in mind for you, not just the person that I have in mind for myself. In real life, we move past dreams to learning and deciding and responding to God and His will. Now, the fact is, these things get out of alignment because real life is hard. Can I get an amen? Real life is hard. It is definitely not everything that it's marketed to be, promised to be, or televised to be. And maybe it's not what you've expected it to be. Maybe as you sit here in the first Sunday of 2020, life has not been what you expected it to be. That's okay. God is with us in our very real day-to-day lives and has a lot to teach us about living them with joy and purpose and love. And so today and in the next few weeks, we'll be taking a look at everything from our relationship goals to marriage to parenting, as well as our work, our finances, even our fitness and body image, and how these real life subjects require the wisdom of God, which is, good news, richly supplied to us. We're not just going to have to make all that up on our own and try to feel our way through. Now, I've already gotten some feedback. We talked about the fact that this series was coming, and I've gotten what I thought. I kind of expected this. Some people are really excited. You see those subjects, and you're like, oh, man, I know I need to hear more about that, or I know someone who needs to hear more about that. In fact, we're really hoping that this would be a great series to invite people who don't go to church. Maybe they would come to church if they knew we were talking about an area that it's really a need for them in their life right now. And so that's super cool. Some of you are like, man, I can't wait for this. This is going to be great. Others are kind of like, oh, wait a second. I'm not married, so then there's happily married. And I don't have kids, so then there's the parents. And they wonder, I don't know if this series is for me. And I just want to encourage you, if that's you, go ahead and make your way that Sunday anyway. Because I'm hoping that regardless of your current station in life, we will be tackling principles related to these topics that will apply in all kinds of areas. God's wisdom is flexible and useful in all kinds of ways. So don't count yourself out of any of these messages just because of the title. That we're going to be tackling some stuff and going through things that I think will be useful to all of us ultimately. Deal? Deal? All right. Cool. All right. So, but today, as an introduction to the series, we're going to talk about hashtag living the dream, which sometimes I'm kind of using that in a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek way, because sometimes the idea of living the dream is something that is not always attainable. Can we be real about that, right? Sometimes on social media, you'll see that people are living the dream. It usually means exotic vacations or big happy families with great teeth, right? You know, all that stuff, big smiles. And, you know, it kind of gets used in this way that is this life we all think we want to live, but we don't always get there, or at least most days we don't. And so what I want to do this morning is grab some advice and direction from the Scriptures, something far more substantive and useful than simply follow your dreams. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to spend all our time in the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 12. If you grabbed your Bible, a Bible from the Bible cart, that's on page 823, moving on into 824. If you don't own an easy-to-read copy of the Bible, feel free to write your name in one of those and take it home with you to keep. Or if you know someone who could use a Bible, we've given out just hundreds and hundreds of those over the years, and we just want to keep doing that. So feel free to use as many as you need. But we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12. The verses will be on the screen, or you can grab them in your device or in your own Bible. And it begins like this. Let us, the writer of Hebrews says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, right out the gate, we're being given an admonition that is clearly our responsibility. This is something that we're supposed to do. Let us do this. We got some stuff that the writer says we need to get rid of. What would that be? What would be some examples of that? Well, it's easy for you and I to get distracted, right? In fact, many times in a New Year's resolution, what we're trying to do is remove distractions. Many times people like to choose a word for their year. Lots of times I see people choose the word focus, right? Or clarity. We're trying to be have our eyes on the right things. But it's easy to be distracted by lesser things. Distracted and weighed down by regret or discouragement or negative people or unresolved tension. Maybe you've brought some or a lot of that into 2020. But I've found, I bet you have too, that healthy people living fruitful lives have disciplined themselves to shed negativity and deflect it like water off a duck's back. They don't allow gossip or criticism or nagging pains or unresolved issues to take up valuable space in their lives. They throw off everything that hinders. Now, I don't mean writing people off if they bother you or forgetting conflicts or abandoning issues that need resolved. That's not what I mean at all. In fact, in my mind, it means taking care of them, addressing them, right? Lance the wound, quit picking the scab. Quit giving permission to let negative things remain in your life and constantly hinder you. This verse reminds us that we have some choices that we can make from day to day, that we can look around and ask, man, what is hindering me? What is holding me back? What is draining my emotional and mental and spiritual energy? Oftentimes, the answers will be things that we can do something about. Might require some patience, might require some courage. It'll definitely require some prayer. But we can, as mature, adult Christians, begin to address the things that are hindering us. Maybe that's something to think about as we move into a new year. Because everything that hinders, anything that hinders, needs to be thrown off. Because, man, we got lives to live. Good ones, great ones even. God's given us stuff to do and people to become. And that means we got to cast off the things that hold us back. That word hinder refers to any kind of burden or weight or encumbrance, meaning anything that's weighing us down. It's like trying to run a marathon with ankle weights or lots of ankle weights, perhaps, as we move through life. So maybe as we enter a new year, we may tend to want to accumulate. Perhaps what we need to do is reduce. We need to cast off and throw away anything that's hindering us. And the verse goes on, and the sin that so easily entangles. This recognizes that you and I, as spiritual beings, and as frankly as just normal, basic human beings, can get caught up. Sin can want to tangle itself around our legs, so to speak, and keep us down or trip us up. We need to throw that off as well, it says. See, sin brings much more than mere distraction to our lives. It brings destruction. It's something to take seriously. It is the cancer of our spiritual lives, which is ultimately our lives, and we have it all. We all have that cancer to some extent at some level of progression. You and I can make resolutions and set goals all we like. In fact, we should knock ourselves out if we want. But until we first resolve to throw off the sin that so easily entangles, or to put off the old self, as the Apostle Paul puts it, or to abstain from the sin that wars against our souls, as Peter puts it, until we resolve to end the things that are trying to end us, then all those other goals and resolutions and aspirations are just spitting into the wind. We've got to throw off what hinders and the sin that easily entangles. That means we look around at our lives and we take an honest assessment before God. What is in me and what is going on around me? And how is it hindering or tripping me up, entangling me? And God, what can I do about it? What can we, God, do about it? God wants to partner with you in this. The theological term for it is the word sanctification, but it is the surest and best pathway to an overall healthy life. And that is simply partnering with God to remove gently, surgically, or perhaps even radically the things that are hindering us. He wants nothing more for you than to do exactly that. And as we partner with Him in that, powerful things can happen. Sometimes our own dreams and expectations are the heavy baggage we carry because we've been going the wrong direction or we've been disappointed by how things have turned out. Other times we're carrying a pocket full of addictions. It could be a load of resentment. It could be a heavy weight of self-pity and disappointment. Whatever it is, as you look around and the Lord reveals to you, and man, He will, you ask that question of Him, He will begin to show you, Lord, what's hindering me? He knows. And in all kinds of love, He will show you what's hindering you and then want to help you get rid of it. Whatever it is that you're carrying into 2020, whatever weight you still seem to have that you would love to get rid of, drop it. Drop all those weights, or as the writer here puts it, throw them off. Everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, it says, throw them off. And it goes on, and this is why you throw them off. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Friends, Josh said it beautifully earlier, and let me just reinforce it. Nothing and no one satisfies like Jesus. That as you move into a new year, make Him your number one resolution. I was talking with an Outlooker a few weeks ago, and they confess that they start each day with a list of the things that they want to accomplish and what they want their day to contain. Maybe you do the same thing. And one day they realized that Jesus was nowhere on the list. And so they just chose to, and this was a good move, they just squeezed Him in at the top, right? They had a piece of paper, they'd written it all down, it was full of things, but they just made a little bit of room at the top and went ahead and put Him up there, right where He was supposed to be. That was awesome, I thought, right? To recognize, wait a second, I've got all this stuff. This is my whole day. I didn't even write down Jesus. To spend the day with Him. To invite Him into all these other things. And man, they squeezed Him in at the top. I would encourage you to do the same. We ask ourselves, especially at this time of the year, who and what do I want to become? Thinner? Better read? More productive? We all have all kinds of answers. Our goals for self-improvement go on and on. But in Jesus, God has revealed who and what we all should seek to become. He is the prototypical human. He is the one the Father wants us all in a mysterious, though very real way, to become. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting to become thinner or better read or more productive in the next year. However, even if we lose all the pounds, read all the books, and execute all the tasks, accomplish all the goals we possibly can, if we haven't become more like Jesus in the next year, we have missed the point of life. Amen? Go ahead. Squeeze Him in at the top and let Him fuel and inform and guide all the other things on your list. My guess is He'll make some adjustments to that list. He might even erase a few things and He might even add a few, but that's okay. He knows what He's doing. Amen? If your dress or pant size shrinks, but so does your heart, if a larger bank account is matched by deeper regret, if that promotion at work saps your devotion to God and to family, then we have found our dreams are disappointing substitutes to God's will. Here's a little thing that I keep coming back to in my own life and mind, and I'll just share it with you because I've found it helpful. There are really three levels that we can operate in our own decision-making in life, and they look like this. They're could, would, and should. At our lowest level, we can just operate at the could level. That means we just work at what's possible. What's allowed? What am I allowed to do? As we approach God, we think, what's within bounds and what's out of bounds? This is the lowest level of thinking. This is the lowest level of decision-making. As we set our own goals, what's possible, what's just within the norm, what goes with the flow. This is what can I do. This is the could. And this is the lowest level in which we just operate within limits. Now, most of us don't live just there, though. We'll go up to what you could call the would. We're making our choices many times based on what's desirable, what I will do, what my will chooses is what I will do. It's the would of it, and it deals with what I want to do, what's desirable. I'm going beyond just what's permissible, but now I'm just exercising my own autonomy, following my own appetites, and I'm just doing whatever I will and want to do. But then, as often as we can, we may operate at this higher level, and that is what you could call should, in all the best senses of the word should. Now we're operating at a more ethical level. We're asking ourselves not just what's possible or what's desirable, but what is beneficial? What is right? Not just for me, but overall. In fact, it might even be uncomfortable and not personally desirable, but it's that higher level that says, but what accomplishes the greatest good for those around me or in my future, even if I'm paying a price in my present, right? So the more often we operate at what you could call the ethical level, the better our lives and healthier our lives become, and frankly, the better and healthier the lives of those we love are as we do life with them. So the developed life, which is what we're certainly all aiming for here at Outlook, developed as disciples of Jesus, moves through all three, operates, though, at the third level most of the time. So if we move into our new year, we do a little self-examination, and we find, man, I tend to just want to operate in the what's allowed, what can I get away with, or what's possible, what's the norm, not striving to be exceptional or even, and certainly not necessarily beneficial, then I would encourage you to examine your decisions and examine how you approach a decision. And if you're, as we mature and develop, we'll blast past those that first and many times even that second. And we'll start to just ask ourselves, what's the right thing to do? What's the best, most beneficial thing to do? Jesus, what would you have me do? What would a healthy, responsible, growing, mature adult, not just Christian, but just simply a good, balanced human being do in this situation? What greater good can I achieve through my decisions? That's a great way to approach our lives and our decisions, and I believe it's part of what maturing in Jesus looks like. Because friends, as the writer here says, we've got to fix our eyes on Him. Because it's in the end, it's all about Him. It's only about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. And in that end, the way we throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles, the way we run the course assigned to us, it will begin with fixing our eyes on Jesus. It will be made possible by fixing our eyes on Jesus. And then as all the distractions come our way, we got to keep fixing our eyes on Jesus. He's who we're to become. He will guide us. He is the pioneer and perfecter of the faith that you and I are developing. Amen? It's all about Him, and He will never disappoint. Our dreams will disappoint and fall flat. He never will. Tragic things can happen in life. Things will get tough. He will be there for us. He's not the one to blame. He's the one to lean on in those times of trouble. So what have we seen so far? That we need to throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. Let's run with perseverance. The race marked out for us, not someone else's race, but the race marked out for you, and fixing our eyes on Jesus, who's the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. It goes on to now talk about Him, who, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is meaty stuff that the writer is giving us. This is so far beyond just a blog post with 5 tips on how to have a great new year, right? I mean, he's giving us some stuff here to really sink our teeth into. And I think what he's saying right here is something that some of us will absolutely be what you need to hear for 2020. And that is to not forget the joy set before you. This is how Jesus endured. He had joy set before him. What was that joy? You were that joy. How did he endure the cross? For your sake. For the sake of the love of God. He endured that cross, and that was the joy set before him. And as you've moving into 2020, maybe 2019 didn't have a lot of joy. I want to remind you that regardless of circumstances, joy is the engine that fuels our life in Christ. That there is a joy set before us that we can continue. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, we will find that we are also setting our course to joy. We too easily forget that joy is the engine. How does that happen to us? Well, here are at least three quick ways. I read this somewhere years ago. I can't remember where, so I would tell you if I did. But I've always liked it, so I'm going to share it again. One of the ways that we drain ourselves of this joy set before us is we have unrealistic expectations, which lead to disillusionment. We're striving always for more. We feel like we need more. We've convinced ourselves we deserve more. We're not always realistic. We become disillusioned and discontent, and then that robs us of our joy. Things didn't go the way we thought they would because our expectations aren't grounded. We can be so hard on ourselves. Unrealistic expectations. A lot of these expectations come from unfair comparisons, which lead to envy. It's become cliche now to say it, but it still remains true. It's so easy to do in social media, and that is to compare our lives to the hashtag living the dream life that we see on social media from others. And we think, you know what, I'm envious of them. I'm comparing myself. I'm disillusioned. My expectations are not being met. Nothing good comes from that. We're not content to be ourselves and enjoy the life God has given us. Be yourself. In 2020. Be the self that God is creating you to be. Aim to be like Jesus, and you will end up being more like you than you've ever been before. All the best and greatest parts of you, all the parts God had in mind when He put you together from the beginning. Unrealistic expectations, unfair comparisons, they'll all lead to unnoticed blessings. We lose our gratitude. We end up complaining, right? No one wants to be around that. When my son Elijah was 6 years old, he got a card from my parents just to say hello. It's just for no reason they would do that. And it had a dollar bill in the card. Just a little gift. Maybe he could get a small toy or something with that. And I'll never forget. He opens a card. He takes out the dollar bill. And he looks me dead in the eye. And he says, "All I ever see is ones. Never a five. Never a ten." Right? He turns 23 this month, so I think it's okay that I tell that story. He won't be embarrassed now. Yeah, unnoticed blessings. We look around, we forget what we've been given, we only think that we want more. And so this cycle right here can rob us of joy, but I just want to give us a reminder here at the beginning of the year that following Jesus is an exciting adventure. Now, I did not say every circumstance in your life will be exciting or that everything will work out perfectly. In fact, as Josh reminded us earlier, he's working all things for good. He's not making sure that all things were good. In fact, he is a master recycler. He takes all the things. Someone say all the things. The bad things, the hard things, the sad things, the tragic things, the heartbreaking things, and the challenging things. And the victorious things and the pleasant things. He takes all of those, and if we'll give them to Him, which we're asked to do countless times in the Scriptures, He will take them and work them for our good, for our growth, for our maturity, for our encouragement. But we've got to give them to Him. So when we just follow our dreams or just try to live the dream, we're defining success by happiness. But in real life, true joy will come from integrity and endurance. And success will look a lot different. Spiritual fulfillment, doing right by others, growing in how we love, that becomes the real measure of success. The scripture goes on Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Dreaming can make us think that nothing bad should happen, but in real life, bad things do happen. And as we've said, we can be robbed of our joy when bad things happen to us. This is natural. You're not going to ever hear me say that when things go south, it's not normal to be sad or even depressed. It is normal. You can have permission to be sad or cry or even feel just really crappy for a while. Is that all right? You can do that. You're not at a church that's going to tell you you need to be chirpy, happy, cheery, and smiling all the time. If you're not having a good day and it happens to be Sunday, don't let that keep you from coming to church. If you don't feel like smiling, don't smile. All right? Jesus can handle it, and so can we. In real life, bad things happen. But we have to find a deeper perspective on those bad things, and Jesus provides that. Josh quoted him earlier. In this world, you'll have trouble. No surprise there. But you can take heart, just as we're told here to not lose heart. Jesus says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. And this new perspective is shown here in this part of the passage when it says, consider him who endured. We fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the one who endured. It's easy to think about Jesus and his love and his grace, and those are some of the most beautiful aspects of his personality. We can think about Jesus and his wisdom. But man, every now and then we ought to think about Jesus and his grit. Jesus and his toughness. Because we need to consider the one who endured. He chose the cross. He wasn't just sent there like any other criminal. He took it up. He made that decision. He says, man, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down and watch me. I'll pick it back up again. He endured, and so can you. It's self-evident that when bad and sad and unpleasant and tragic things happen, we aren't happy about them. But since we know they'll happen, Jesus tells us they will, then we don't have to fall into despair. We can bounce off of a baseline of joy that is right there holding us up because we fixed our eyes on Jesus. Amen? This is the hope of those who follow Jesus and have that hope that everyone else needs. It's the eternal perspective that recognizes that tragedy and trial in life, though emotionally tough and physically draining, is not the end. They can affect us for now, but not forever. Our lives are in God's hands. These hands don't necessarily prevent bad things. They are hands that carry us through all things. As we wrap up this morning, perhaps you've been disappointed with God. Don't be. God is the only one who never really disappoints. In real life, dreams easily disappoint and can quickly collapse, but God's word and his will are solid and trustworthy. So let's throw off everything that hinders. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus in 2020. Let's not grow weary. And let's not lose heart. Because friends, it's got to be about more than just following my dreams or yours. Let's follow Jesus. When we do, he will lead us into a life beyond anything we could have dreamt or come up with on our own. Literally, beyond our wildest dreams. Amen? Let's pray about that. Father, we thank you for the truth that we see here in Hebrews chapter 12. That this powerful scripture can motivate us as we move into a new year to fix our eyes, to choose our vision, to make it focused on you, to become more like you, to consider you who endured, so that the collection of trials and tests that are in this room right now, that each person is going through or will encounter in the year ahead. Let us remember, Lord, these words. Consider him who endured. Father, as we prepare our hearts after this song for communion, we pray, God, that we would think about the sacrifice that you made, that we would live not our dreams, but your will. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.